It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates, and he joins us on the line now. How are you, KB?
Well, thank you, Sam.
Good, good. We'll start.
You realise we allow people to go on holiday. I gather that Darren, you're standing for Darren.
Yep, Darren. Yeah, he's off on his jollies this week. Off to the East Coast. Up to Whitley Bay, I think.
Whitley Bay. Good Lord. Whitley Bay. I have to remember that going there years ago.
We'll kick off this week, Kirby, with some good news because Radio Yorkshire Proper Sport have been nominated for an IRN award once again, third year running. We've been nominated this time for Tour de Yorkshire 2017.
Well, yes, and this is the third year running. Congratulations to all of you. It's quite a difficult event to cover. Got a course all over the county, and you do very well. And it's interesting that our competitors, BBC, and competition, once again kept second chance to us. Very good. So congratulations all involved, and keep it up.
Thank you very much. We'll start with the topics this week with Leeds United, who were in action last night away at Derby, which tough game for Leeds. But another point for Paul Heckingbottom. What do you make of the result, and just a shame that they couldn't hold on for the win?
Well, I watched the game, and it was a very interesting game because to start with, Derby were all over Leeds, and Leeds' defence was pretty poor, and Derby could have been three or four up at one time. The number of near misses they had, and the fact that Derby got four corners to Leeds nil in the first half an hour or so tells it all. But and I thought being very negative in playing our own half. But the goal, which came against the run of play, but Neil says was brilliant. I mean, left back to sweeping ball out to the right wing, who looks a very good player and certainly gave the Derby County left back the run around all day. And his brilliant crosses were a feature of the game. So the goal we got was, against the run of play was well executed and well deserved. And congratulations to the scorer. Derby seemed to lose their kilter after that, and then they got the equaliser last on half time. It was a good one. The second half was a different story, and I thought that Leeds had more of the game. They used their wingers, both left one very fast, to good effect, and the goal, second goal when it came for the right wing was again good. And the left winger, of course, was very fast. I thought, in fact, if he'd crossed the ball more, instead of trying to make the extra square ball pass, might have won the game. But nevertheless, looked good attacking, and visiting fans, of course, were suitably happy. So, it'd take a bit more time for the new manager to settle in, but hopefully, there were signs of a bit more fight.
Yeah, he's had two tough games against top six opposition. On Saturday for Leeds, it's Brentford going to Elland Road. They're 10th, Leeds are 11th. Brentford have a 4-point gap on Leeds, so an important game if they're going to have an outside chance of the playoffs to beat Brentford at the weekend.
Sam, every game is an important game. We moved up back from the 12th to 11th. Still a long way, it's 10 clubs above us. So we'll get cracking. It's up to the players. How much do they want it? That's the important question. How much do they want it?
Let's talk.
The fans got behind them, even when they were having a bad patch. That's a good sign.
Let's talk about
United, and the club has offered a little reward with freezing their season tickets. Nice touch.
Yeah, what do you make of that? Existing season ticket holders getting a price freeze. If you're new to the party or a returning season ticket holder, then some of the prices up by around 10%. But good of the club to reward that loyalty.
Oh, of course they should. And the point I picked up the point you said, returning season ticket holders should have to pay extra. Well, where have they been? Where have they been when the club needed them? I mean, the trouble is, you two types of fans. You're the loyal ones, through thick and thin, rain or shine. You're the fickle ones who come and go. So they should be. They should pay the extra, and loyal fans should be rewarded. Obviously, the owner has done his calculations and decided that's it. It's interesting that he'd brought the renewal date forward for next season, March the 30th. So that will be before we know if we're in the playoffs or not. On the other hand, if we did get into playoffs and then got promotion, that would be an absolute bargain for the loyal season to go. And good luck to them. I think loyalty is a two-way deal. So yes, I think we should applaud it. And 20,000 season tickets is fantastic. But there are a few Premiership clubs that like that. No, no. And juniors also got their discount, so that something's everybody will win. And the Johnny come late as well. That's what they are, and that's what they pay. I think it's a very fair arrangement, and I hope lots of people take advantage of it.
And the club opening the East Stand upper as well for season ticket holders, saying that there is a phenomenal demand they're expecting for next season. So again, the more positives, as you said, that they've already outscoring a lot of Premier League teams. It looks like it's going to be higher next year.
Yes, well, that's good. And of course, that means you better make sure they've got plenty of catering staff in on the upper tier. So they'll all be hungry and thirsty. That's an additional income to the club. So, and of course, bringing the deadline forward enables the club to plan its budgets and, importantly, transfer expenditure in the summer in good time. Now, moving on to the Champions League, isn't it great that they have the 16 clubs, England has five, and they're all unbeaten ahead of the second leg. That's must be one of the best progress ever. And great if we demonstrated our superiority by getting the quarterfinals, semi-finals, and hopefully a date for the final in the summer.
Does it show how strong the Premier League is right now? When you're looking at it, obviously Manchester City have a large lead, but tight in those places between Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, and then Tottenham and Arsenal in behind us as well. We've got some really good sides at the moment.
Well, it is. It's nice, the fact that clubs outside the Big Four. That's really encouraging. And it's hopefully will reflect on the quality of the play and even better next season. But we don't want runaway champions. Congratulations to Man City, they're doing very well. It's almost inevitable they will be champions. But we want a bit more competition. And hopefully that will come on. But it's all in the right direction.
And Chelsea, that obviously last season's champions, they sit fourth in the Premier League at the moment. Obviously, a late slip cost them against Barcelona. A really good performance. What have you made of Chelsea this season, and obviously the speculation over Antonio Conte and his future?
Well, it's a bit confusing, quite frankly. have some very good games, and then, of course, they lose games that are unexpected. They've been beaten at home 3-0 by Bournemouth, and then losing to Watford. And then they come back and do very well, I think, against Barcelona, who's probably the best club in the world, have been for some time. But so Mr. Conte and Mr. Bromwich will sort out if there are any differences or misunderstandings. And meanwhile, let's concentrate Mr. Mr. Higginbottom and the season to yourselves at Leeds United. Now, interestingly, about the thing you saw about Leicester being charged fair play, what surprises me, it's taken 4 years for them to be fined. And the idea of the fair play is that it stops clubs or individuals pouring money into clubs to buy success. And I think that's a good thing, because it enables the clubs with more modest resources, but maybe better management, to compete. A nice result is Brighton doing well. Premiership, having a good run the FA Cup, so it can be done. And I think the idea is to stop a few clubs dominating the thing, simply because of financial power. And it's also really in accordance with the UEFA rules and regulations as well. So, if it makes a few more clubs count their pennies and not give somebody £500,000 a week, it'll be a good thing. And finally, of course, we come to Brexit. There's nothing really new here in Brexit. It's just the usual debate. It's going backwards and forwards and forwards and backwards. I think the important thing, the argument that's being brought up, insisting on proper treatment for EU citizens living in the UK. I've noticed Mr. Ghani hasn't said that the similar treatment, equal treatment, should be given to UK citizens living in the EU. I think it's rather silly for him not to raise, not to concede it, because it would demonstrate cost him nothing and demonstrate that there is really give and take and something is agreed. I think on the other matters, quite a few things we can do. As I say, agricultural policy, fishing policy, immigration. We can deal with single-handedly. The encouraging thing is that the European individual governments are now talking to our individual politicians. I think that our embassies and consulates are talking to countries all around the world, having behind-the-scenes private discussions. Not negotiations, we have discussions. And as a result of those private discussions, you work out parameters on which, when you start negotiations, you're near to each agreement before you start. And those negotiations don't take place in the newspapers or on TV or staged press conferences. They're done where they should be done, behind closed doors in committees and councils. Now I've got a funny feeling with making progress. It'd be interesting to know if Mr. Corbyn could come out and say something positive and where he stands, but of course at the moment he's too busy, allegedly, explaining away the claims by the Czech spy. He was a spy for them. He takes all the things that Vince saw, it's a bit peculiar. Mr. Corbyn hasn't really come out with it. Almost behaviour it didn't exist, and that is not the way. A politician and aspiring statesman should behave. But then it's all wind and water where socialism is concerned. And socialists create messes which the other parts have to clean up. And you go right back to 1945, which is 55, 65, 73 years ago, you can see the same cycle all the time. Except that Tony Blair did it in a more professional way. He was the most unsuccessful warmonger for many centuries, going back to the king that we had in charge of the time of Joan of Arc. But there you are. We should concentrate on home affairs and getting it agreed, our attitude towards the EC, getting it signed on and getting it done. Wish them well. Interesting, having a big meeting today. It's got to be a fly on the wall now. But there you are, and it's only 13 months till we officially leave the EU. So here's hoping. Time goes quickly.